No, we're fine. Thank you. John 14, 15.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Short verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. We're going to talk about obedience today, and I'm going to try to bring this into a little bit of a discussion that fits into our cantata that we're having this morning. And so I just want to give you some things to think about as you go through listening to the cantata. We're going to do a little more of a Christmas lesson next week, and then we'll start our official studies back. We'll probably start with the three letters of John. We'll do 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. They're fairly short. We'll get finished with those early in January, and then we'll move on to a longer study. So that's going to be our path. So we talked last week a little bit about faith, and a little bit about trust, and a little bit about obedience. And we talked about how the more faith you have, the more trust you have in God, and the more trust you have in God, the more obedient you are to Him. And the more obedient you are, the more trust and the more faith. And so it's a circle. It's sort of a circle with each one pointing to the other. And the more you exercise that circle, the more your faith grows, the more your trust grows, and the more your obedience grows. And the whole theme for this cantata, and the theme actually for the next few years for us, is the journey of faith. And so when you think about the journey of faith, you should think about, how do I increase my faith? How do I increase my trust? How do I increase my obedience to God? Because if you can do that, your faith will grow, and you will be molded more like God wants us to be. We had a discussion once before about somebody had talked to, I guess it was either Michelangelo, or I think it was Michelangelo, about how he, when he got this big slab of marble, how he began his process of making it into a beautiful statue. And he said he just chipped off all the things that weren't supposed to be there. Well, and that's what God does with us, you know, and the more we trust Him and the more we're obedient to Him, the more He chips off the things of our life that maybe we like but are not called according to His purpose. So we're going to spend a little time on obedience today. And when they open the cantata, and I'm not sure which song it is, but it's the third or fourth song. And I want to read you some lyrics. Now, these are not the exact lyrics from the cantata, but these are the original lyrics of the song. And what I want you to do, if you haven't, even if you have been to the cantata before, listen to the lyrics. Don't just admire the beautiful music and watch the scenery, but listen to the lyrics. Along with obedience, let me just read this. It's a little song called "Take My Life and Let It Be," and it says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as Thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it Thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own, it shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Thy feet its treasure stored. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for Thee." Now the cantata doesn't use all those verses, but listen to the ones they have. I mean, you know, take my life and let it be consecrated. I mean, that's an idea for us to be focused and dedicated to what God has called us to be and do. You know, your hands and feet, do they do what God wants you to do? It's our hands and feet that are His missions of love here in this world. My voice and my lips. I don't sing, but I talk. You know, and do we, is all of our talk, is all of our song, is all of our praise, honor and glory for Him, or is it other stuff? Stuff that we maybe shouldn't be doing, or stuff that we ought to certainly think about. My silver and my gold. I mean, that's a discussion not just about money, but it's a discussion about where your heart is and what your priorities are in life. My intellect. We don't come to God and check our mind at the door when we walk in. We have our mind. We have our brain that God gave us, and He wants us to think about and pray about and let the Spirit speak to our deepest point of intellect. And that way we can learn to love Him the way He has called us, for each one to his own purpose. Take my will. Take my heart, it is Thine own, let it be Thy royal throne. We've talked about before that the Holy Spirit doesn't just exist out in space. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us. He lives in our heart. And so when it says, take my heart and use that royal throne, that is an interesting thought about the Spirit living with each one of us. My love, take myself, for I will be only thee. I mean, this is a psalm about dedication, a psalm about obedience, that we've turned into a song. And we sing it, and we sing it because it's beautiful. We sing it because it's timeless. But the words are also important for us. And I every time I hear this in the cantata, I think through the sounds and the songs and what they mean. And I would just encourage you to do that today, because it's not just the music that's beautiful, it's the words that are beautiful. If you don't listen to the words, you miss so much of the deep meaning of this cantata. And I would encourage you to do that. We're going to talk a little bit about obedience. We read John 14, 15. And Randy, what does that say, that short verse?
If you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's just relate it to the cantata for a minute. And, you know, in the cantata, when they do the words, they think about, they talk about Mary and the turmoil she was in. But I also want to step back and I want to talk about Joseph for a minute. Because Joseph, Joseph has his bride, his betrothed, and they're not married yet. And all of a sudden, she's pregnant. She tells him she has a visit from an angel. And he's supposed to believe that. Then he gets a visit through a dream from an angel. And he's convinced that what Mary said is true. But now they go to talk to their parents, let's say. And Mary's, what, 14 or 15 years old? Joseph's probably in his 20s, maybe. So they go to talk to their parents. And what are their parents, what are their relatives thinking? What is going on in their mind? Yet, Joseph decides, and Mary decides, to be obedient to God. And we know how the story turns out, but that's a decision each one of us make. We make it every day. You know, when God speaks to us, maybe not, you know, the angel popping up in front of us, but do we get little thoughts in our mind? Does something call us to do something that we do or don't do? That's God speaking to us, and we need to be obedient, like Mary, obedient, like Joseph. And, you know, I think about the embarrassment. I think about the whole fidelity issue. I think about what it means for their future together. Are they going to have more children? Is this, you know, how do they, I'm sure they had stares and they had eyes cut to them. They had all kinds of things going on in their life, which we don't think about when we just read those beautiful verses, you know, about them riding off, you know, and going to Bethlehem. But there's a lot of time that passes in between there, and a lot of things go on. And just like, we're not going to talk about Noah, but just like Noah was obedient, and I'm sure with lots of comments and lots of derogatory comments, you know, as he built that ark for 100 years and it didn't rain, I'm sure Joseph and Mary were in the same situation. Well, for Joseph and Mary, their world is upside down. Whatever their world was as newly betrothed, as someone going to get married, their simple life of, you know, living in a small village and just participating in small village life and doing the things, that didn't happen. And it wasn't going to happen because God had another plan. And I guess I think about what happens in our own lives when our plans don't work out. It may be the death of a spouse. It may be financial ruin. It may be all sorts of things that we exhibit every day that we see. We see it in our families. We see it in our friends. We see it in our own lives. So what do we do when our life is turned upside down? How do we deal with the situation? Do we deal with it like Joseph? Or do we deal with it some other way? And I want to read, have somebody read, whoever volunteered, read for me Psalm 119, verse 50. Who volunteered to read that? 50.
My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life.
Okay. That's 119:50?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I wrote it down wrong.
Well, I've got 50 makes sense too.
Okay.
I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. That would fit him also.
Yeah, I may have written it down. Mine says, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. That may be a different verse. Maybe I may have screwed it up when I wrote it down. So anyway, I wanted to go with my version, which is, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. And I'll get you the right verse for what that is. But the key item there is, I will hasten. You know, how do we make decisions in the crisis of life? How do we decide what to do? You know, I think procrastination is one of our own personal big enemies. It's one of my enemies. It's one of the enemies of all of us. When God tells us to do something, we can find a million reasons why he really didn't mean it. Or he didn't mean it the way I think he meant it. Or he meant it some other way, which is far more comfortable for me to do. But the point of this verse in Psalm is that not only should we obey the Lord, but we should do it quickly. You know, we know the whole situation in terms of the story of Joseph and Mary. And let's take a look. Let's take a look at Matthew 1:20 through 24.
The other one was verse 16.
16. Okay. I can't read my own writing, I guess. 1:19:60. Good. Thank you. I'll correct that. There. Okay, so let's read Matthew 1:20-24. Who has that? Okay.
But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take one home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home.
So not only is procrastination one of the sins that we do, but fear is another one, isn't it? You know, we're afraid to go do what God called us to do. I mean, how many times do we get a thought from the Lord that says, you know, I need to call someone. I need to go visit them. I need to be an encouragement to them. But so many times, that's uncomfortable for us. You know, we don't want to reach out. We don't want to step out in faith and do that. And what this, you can't imagine, I can't imagine how uncomfortable this is for Joseph. But he gets this dream, he's convinced by the angel that this is God's plan, and so it simply says he does that, he does what God commanded him to do. And I think that's important because for us in time of crisis, one of the things we don't do well is we don't look out and say, okay, my 5-year plan is for this, so therefore that tells me what to do today. Sometimes today is not in our 5-year plan because something happens that we didn't expect. But God will give us guidance either through his word or through someone we know or just through his prayer, just through the Spirit speaking to us. And every day we need to make the decision to do what God has called us to do the right thing that he's allowed us to do, and not to be afraid and not to put it off, because those are things that afflict us all. What about 1 John 5:3? Who's got 1 John 5:3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is love to God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome.
So if we love God, we'll obey his commands. Do any of you have things that you do for the Lord that are burdensome? That's rhetorical. You don't need to raise your hand because I know you're all thinking, you know, gosh, I hate to get up and get dressed again for this third cantata. I hate to prepare for a Sunday school lesson. I hate to be on the door this morning. I don't want to be a greeter. The weather's nasty. Nobody's going to come anyway, so I'm just not going to go. You know, we all make our excuses. We all prioritize. Faye gets up and leaves when she's upset now. So, we all have our excuses that we make. But this says this is love to God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. So I would just suggest to us that if his commands are burdensome, we're not doing them in the spirit of the Lord. we're doing them in our own flesh. We're doing the things he's called us to do, but we're doing them by griping about it. You know, I don't want to do this. I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it. And that really doesn't help our spirit at all. It doesn't help other spirits either. I would just encourage you, as I encourage myself, that when you have tasks to do that you feel are of the Lord, even if they're a lot of trouble, that you get up and do them in the right spirit. Because if you do, the burden will be light. As the Lord said, my yoke is light. And I think we have to, anytime our burden is not light, we have to go back and think about our motives and why we're doing them. Did you have, Ron?
Yeah, there's also times when I've been that way, though, that I got more fulfilled or had, something happened that was, it was the best job or the best feeling I'd had after completing.
Well, how many times do you actually go visit someone or pick up the phone and talk to them, and you are blessed by the conversation, and when you get off the phone, you say to yourself, I'm really glad I did that. Because the Lord, when the Lord guides you, he will not only give you the strength, but he'll also bless you for being obedient. And I think we sort of forget that. Sometimes we say, okay, I'll pass the blessing because I really don't want to go, go do that. It's too hard. It's a little bit too difficult for me. So I guess the point there is don't let our fear and our procrastination block our path from doing something for the Lord. Because if we do it, we'll be blessed for it. We'll be blessed more than we bless someone else. But perhaps, I hear people say, why did this happen to me? I don't understand why this happened to me. I've gone to church all my life. I've done this. I've done that. Why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to a person I love? Why did this, I prayed for this and God didn't do it. Well, we don't know all those answers. We don't know why God chooses to do some things and not. The only thing we do know is that God is a sovereign God, and whatever he does out of love for us and out of the best that happens. Now, that's not to say everything that happens is ordained by God, but he can use everything, a tragic car accident, all sorts of things he can use for his glory. And one of the things that always strikes me is I wonder, we all say, why me, Lord? And maybe the answer to that is, why not me? Why not me? Is there something God's trying to teach me, or is there something that I can learn by this that will be a blessing to someone else? We all want to be blessed, but we also all want to be a blessing. One of the ways we do that is to be obedient to him, because if we are, then he will be guiding us in the path that is the best for us, both in terms of our own blessing and in terms of the blessings we can give others by that word of encouragement, just to sit down and pray with somebody, just to hug them, just to talk to them, just to be there for them. All the things that we do, we don't have to be Billy Graham. We don't have to know the exact words to say. We don't have to be able to quote scripture, chapter, and verse. If we're guided by the Lord, just our presence and our care and our love and our concern and our compassion will be the thing that's needed by whatever situation is coming. So I just encourage you for obedience to do that. My question is, what is God calling you to do, or what is God calling me to do today? What is it that's probably, as you're sitting there, you're thinking about something God has called you to do, and something called you to look into or to do for someone else or for somebody in your family or for some situation to heal a hurt? Is it a phone call? Is it a visit? Is it a prayer? Is it encouragement? A word of encouragement? Is it compassion? I don't know, but I think it's important that we listen to what God has to say to us, because through his discussion with us, we will find out what it is he wants us to do. What about Matthew 2:13-15? Who has that one?
I've got that.
Okay.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son.
I want to bring that verse up because of something that I think is important. And I want to read a verse out of this little song that we did earlier. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Joseph had a word to keep Mary, to marry her, to bring this child up as their own, to name him. He knew of the vision. Mary knew of the vision. But that's not the end of the story. You'll see a lot more upstairs. The angel also came to Joseph and said, get up, take your family for safety to Egypt, and I'll tell you when to return. Now, did Joseph say, you know, come on, Lord, I've got a job here. You know, I've got to go to work tomorrow. I've got to be at the local church to do something tomorrow. I've got to do this. Mary's got a doctor's appointment. Mary's got to go do this. You know, did he say that? No, he didn't. What does the Bible verse say?
When he arose.
He arose in the middle of the night. When he arose in the middle of the night, he followed the instructions of the Lord, not only to the letter, but also quickly. He followed them swiftly. And I just think for us, that comes back to that procrastination thing, you know. Are there times when you say, I should have made a call to somebody? I didn't do it. I should have made a call to somebody. Well, the Holy Spirit is a comforter for us. But he's also a discomforter, and I've said that before to many of you, and I believe it totally. That he not only brings us comfort, but when we're out of his will, he brings us discomfort. He urges us to get back in his will, and that's our conscience, whatever you want to call it. That's reading a verse and having it apply, and you say, oh man, did I screw that one up? And so the Spirit is not only a spirit of comfort, but a spirit of discomfort. And, you know, I pray for all of us that we have both God's comfort and we have God's discomfort. Because as we have his discomfort, we will, to get away from that discomfort, we will move more to the center of his will, and that will bring us back to the peace of God and the comfort that he brings us. And, you know, what are our habits? You know, do we have habits that we do every day? You know, we get up and we eat the same breakfast every day. We get up and we do the same thing every day. We've got our routines. And in some ways, the routines are comfortable for us because they give us structure. They give us purpose every day. We know what we've got to do. And, you know, I know I'm a slave to my calendar. If I don't put it on my calendar, I forget about it. So I put everything on my calendar. And when my alarm goes off that says, do this, I do it. But I don't think about it until the alarm goes off. And God is kind of that way with us. He gives us things to do, and yet he reminds us. Sometimes it's, you know, after we should have done something. But it's never really too late to do God's will. It's never really too late to be about God's will. I mean, we heard when Valerie gave her testimony a few weeks ago, as late as it was for her brother, she didn't know that. She didn't know he would die a few weeks later. And so when the Lord said to her, go talk to him, as hard as it was, as difficult as it was to step out of that box, as afraid as she was to do that because of rejection of her family, of just the, you know, she, if you know Valerie very well, Valerie is not a Bible thumping, stand up on the pulpit, slap it down and preach hellfire and brimstone. That's not Valerie. She didn't do that then either. But what she did is she followed the Lord's guidance. She was obedient to his word. And so in doing that, she planted a seed. She watered a seed. She did what he wanted to do. And she's at peace that she did what the Lord called her to do, even after her brother died. And we just have to trust the sovereign God that he knew the right timing, he knew the right will, he knew what his brother needed, he knew what his brother's friends and her brother's friends needed, and he's placed Valerie squarely in a place to make a difference. And he's given us all that power. He's given us all that opportunity. But what we have to do is step away from our uncomfort zone and step into the comfort zone. And I guess 2 Corinthians 1:3, I guess I promised to read that, didn't I? Let me read that, and then we'll close, because I think I took my watch off so I wouldn't run over time this morning. 2 Corinthians 1:3. You'll find it.
1:3?
Yeah, 1:3. Okay.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort,
who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
So this comes back to the whole area about why do we do what we do? You know, I can't explain. I can't explain the death of a husband or a wife or a child or a friend or anybody in our family that happens, you know, not in the natural course of events, but just happens out of the blue. I can't explain that. But God really gives us the strength to go through it. He gives us the power to not only give peace to ourselves through His Spirit, but also an ability now to work with another who has a similar problem and show them that there is light after this. This is not the end of the world, that God has other purposes for us. You know, and that's important.
We forget that our whole purpose is to be like Jesus. And that means that we will suffer like Jesus too. We're not going to have He's the most honored and glorified in heaven. So if we want to be like Jesus, then we have to accept that and say, what am I supposed to do in it? And we forget to do that.
That's a great point. We're never promised that our life will be easy. What we're promised is that He will be with us. And we're promised that He will give us the strength and the courage to face, death in whatever situation we have. And I just the pastor talks about a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer all the time. And there's a new book out about him. I just bought it. And it's called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Interesting title. But Bonhoeffer, and it goes through his life and what made him what he was. The interesting thing about Bonhoeffer, word Bonhoeffer, anybody speak German in here? It means bean farmer. So Bonhoeffer means bean farmer. But anyway, his family was farmers. But his part of his relatives were pastors and deep religious people. And he was convicted during the revolution, during the study of Martin Luther about his relationship to God. And he followed that till the end when he was killed by the Nazis for his faith. But as a part of that, he became one of the plotters of the Valkyrie plot and the other plots that were to kill Hitler or to do away with Hitler or capture him because of the heinous crimes he was committing in the name of Christianity. And he's written some books like The Cost of Discipleship. And you look at a man like him, he died in 1945. He was executed by the Germans. Right before the war ended, and you look at him and you say, how does he have the strength to go through that? How does he have the strength to watch it? And his sister, his young sister, has helped be a contributor to this book, you know, in terms of some of her stuff. But how do we get to the point, not that we're going to be Bonhoeffer, any of us, but how do we get to the point where our beliefs are so powerful in our lives that they dominate what we do, that everything we do is fostered out of our belief, not out of, you know, the routine things we do every day. And I think part of the key to that is being obedient to God. Because I think if we are, He will give us that power, He'll give us that strength. And we're going to stop there. I'm going to pick up a little bit next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the journey of faith and how it relates to us. But anybody have any comments or questions or anything you want to share about how the Lord's working in your life, calling you to do something?
I know sometimes, you know, the Lord tell you to do something. If you don't do it, you're going to get whooped. I mean, it is best, you know, to ask the Lord to show you the way to get around it. If the way of getting around it, I'll try. And I'll like it. But if you obey the Lord and do what He asks you to do, you'll never lose.
Well, that's good advice. It's hard to keep sometimes, but it's good advice. Big joke.
Yeah.
You were talking about the suffering part in Harbor. The word was a turn of panic into praise.
Turn panic into praise. Yeah, there are so many times when, you know, the situation is dire and we've got a problem that we've got to deal with and how do we face it, you know? And one of the things the Lord tells us is to be thankful in all things. So if we're thankful to God, even for the situation we're in, because He's going to lead us out of it, and we're going to follow Him wherever He leads us, that's one of the ways to turn panic into praise. Again, hard to do, but good points. Anybody else? Well, let's
think when it's, I think when it's important enough in your life, I know in my situation, he just came to me and said, quit. And that's what I did. And it just increased my walk with him, made me closer to him.
Well, I think it does. I think when we're obedient, it gives us more trust. It gives us more faith. It brings us closer to what he wants us to be. So why don't we have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss upstairs. I can look at my watch, but it's off on my down here. So let's just pray, and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we just thank you for your words that we studied today. We thank you for Joseph and his obedience. We thank you for all of the heroes of faith and their obedience to your command. Lord, one of the things that makes them faithful is that they heard your word. They acted out your word. They did it with their brain, they did it with their hands, they did it with their feet. But Lord, everything in their fiber was to do the will that you, the work that you called them to do. Lord, I pray for all of us that we would listen to your voice, that we would listen to what you have to say to us, that we would accept your guidance, and that we would be quick about doing what you want us to do. Lord, just help us be givers. Help us be encouragers. Help us to always look for someone else that we can share with or encourage. Lord, we pray for the service to come. We pray for all of the choir and the cast and all the words spoken, the songs sung. Lord, we also pray for each person who comes to hear this cantata. We pray that this message of a journey of faith will be a message we'll hear. We'll not just listen to the songs, but we'll hear the words. And Lord, they'll find fertile soil in our heart. Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.